Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we've had a lot of fun this month, Richard, yes, talking about the eight essential truths that every Christian needs to know. We have a CD series called The Power of Eight that takes a look at each and every one of them. It's the deity of Christ. Who is Jesus? When Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Most compelling question that's ever been asked. And it's a question that we all need to answer. That's what determines everything for us as far as our destiny, as far as our identity, as far as our purpose. It all starts with Jesus. And then we talked about the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God. God inspired men over a period of time to put the words down that we read in our Bible, both Old Testament and New. And that all of those writings have one unfolding story, and that's the story of Christ. It truly is God's testimony about His Son, and as we read it to get to know Him, then our hearts can know how to respond to Him in faith. So it drives us to that faith relationship with the living Christ. So there's the Word of God, there's the New Covenant. That's kind of the overarching truth that ties everything together. And we see that all the Old Testament prophets were pointing forward to the day when this new covenant would go into effect. When Jesus raised the cup, He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which I am pouring out for you." So as believers, we are in the new covenant. That's what governs our lives. Then there's the finished work of Christ on the cross when He said, "It is finished." That was a cry of victory. His work, as far as sin was concerned, was done. There was nothing more to be done. And we're forgiven people as a result. And then the resurrection. All of Christianity hinges on that fact. Yes. If Christ hadn't been raised, then we're still without hope. We're still dead in our sins. Our faith is futile. I mean, we might as well just pack it up and go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So that's how important the resurrection is. And then there's how we live as believers. And, you know, there's rules, there's regulations, there's, you know, in our country we have the rule of law, and that's important as far as a country is concerned, as far as a community or a state or a city is concerned. But as far as believers are concerned, we have something that transcends that, and that's the very person of Jesus Christ living inside of us. And so as we walk by faith in Him, we see His life being expressed through us, and there's no law against love. There's no law against forgiving those that have forgiven you. There's no law against loving your wife as Christ loved the church. So we have something that transcends that, that raises us up to a higher level. And then there's this identity, we're children of God. And then the last is faith, hope, and love. And those are the distinguishing marks of every believer. We are marked out by our faith in Jesus, our hope in the resurrection, and our love expressed one to another as believers. And there's so many people that criticize the grace of God. Whenever folks talk about the grace of God, there's critics that come to the surface, and they just drone away at, you know, "You're just taking this grace stuff way too far. Yeah, you're giving people a license to sin," and all of these sort of things. And I don't get it. I mean, why would you criticize the very thing that saved you? Why would you criticize the very thing that sustained you as a believer? Why would you criticize the very thing that you're going to stand as a testimony to in eternity? I mean, when everybody sees who you really are, you're going to be a testimony to the grace of God, an eternal testimony. Why would you criticize that? Why would you be against
that? Well, it's just not enough.
I know. It's not enough. Not enough at all. But But where the criticism lies is this without law.
Yes.
This theological word, antinomianism, and that's what it means, without law. So they say, well, if you're teaching grace, you're just saying that people can go out and do whatever they want to. Well, that's a misunderstanding of this new covenant, first and foremost. It's a misunderstanding of the role that faith, hope, and love play as being tied to the person and work of Christ living inside of us. So we're not without law. We have the law of faith, which is talked about in Romans 3:27. We have the law of hope. We've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we have the law of love. That's the command, to believe in the Lord Jesus and to love others as you have been loved. We have those. And in other places, as far as this new covenant is concerned, we have the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. That law of Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. That's like gravity and aerodynamics.
Yes.
You know, one supersedes the other. And that's what we have with the law of the Spirit of life. We have the law of Christ. We have the law of liberty. Those are the things that govern us as children of God. And as I said, those are the three distinguishing marks of every single believer: faith, hope, and love. Tomorrow we're going to talk about love, because as Paul writes, but the greatest of these is love. So we're going to tie this power of eight together tomorrow as we talk about the love of God. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome your call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Richard, as we wait for calls to come in, we have a fantastic event coming up October 24th in New York City. We're going to repeat this event for our listeners in the Washington, D.C. area November 7th, but it's the Simply Grace Tour. And we're going to go to the King's College in New York City, yes, the southern part of Manhattan. I think it's Broadway and Wall Street and that area. And we're encouraging our listeners in the New York area, maybe folks, you know, all over New England can come and be a part of this. But if you're struggling with the Christian life, if you're asking the question, how does the Christian life, how is it really supposed to work? If you're looking for a set of truths that can bring solutions into your life, that can give you victory as a believer, can enable you to enjoy the love and peace of Jesus Christ, to be able to express God's love and forgiveness to others. If that's what you're looking for, this particular seminar is for you, the Simply Grace Tour. All the information on how to be a part of it, how to come and join us in New York City and Washington, D.C., is available at our website, basicgospel.net. And click the events tab. That's at the very top of the page. Just look for the word events. Click that, and then you will see all the information about where it is. I think the cost of it is $30. Each person will go home with a copy of the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, along with other resources. So the conference just doesn't end there. You can take it home with you, basically, and share this material with others. So come join us. October 24th for the Simply Grace Tour in New York City, and November 7th for the Simply Grace Tour in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yes. We've got a question here from Mark, who listens to us on the internet out of Michigan. He says, can you share any insight concerning groups still going with the, quote, Daniel fasts, fasting to believe for breakthroughs or finances, souls being saved, church growth, etc.? I'm not seeing that this is in the new covenant, and this feels like works rather than grace through faith. I think he's right.
Well, I think you've just answered the question.
Yeah.
I think he's right as well. There's a lot of Old Testament promises that God made to Israel that were specific to Israel that we try to bring over into our lives. But we keep forgetting that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We already have it. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1. We've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. We see in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we've been given everything that we need for life and godliness. And it's through these precious promises that we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world.
Yes.
So we already have everything that we need. But we're not content with that. And because we're not content with what we have in Christ, we seek other blessing opportunities, so to speak. And it's kind of the old deal. God, what have you done for me lately?
Well, yeah.
I know you saved me, and I appreciate that, and that's awfully nice of you to do. But what about my finances? I mean, why haven't you just blessed the socks off me with my finances? And why am I still driving this old clunker of a car? I deserve something much better. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray more. And I'm going to, you know, cast my bread upon the water, so to speak. And I am going to expect you to bless that 30, 60, or 100 fold. Mm-hmm. And it's a prosperity gospel. It's not the real gospel. And so we have to go back to the fact that when we receive Christ, we were given Christ. And with him, we have everything we need. And let's learn to be content with Jesus.
Yeah, it's like people treat God as if he were an expert marketing person, and he's met his quota, so you raise his quota for the next year so that you can be more successful. And there's a fundamental disconnect here, because people who think of God that way always think of God as out there someplace. And what the New Covenant teaches us is that God is in here. The fact that we've been given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, means that everything that you were just talking about, that we've been given, is going to work itself out through us. It's not going to drip on us and kind of soak in by osmosis and therefore, you know, get more and more blessing as time goes on. That we really have to come to grips with the fact that this relationship with God starts on the inside. He has restored our spirits and is restoring our souls, and that's inside stuff. These bodies are going to go away eventually.
Yes.
One way or another, they're going away. But this blessing of Christ in you, the hope of glory, has got to be center stage in our lives.
Yes, indeed. I love what N.T. Wright, and he's one of my favorite writers and speakers. He's interesting to listen to, and he has a very, I think, very solid perspective on what the gospel message is. He really emphasizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and wants for people to center their lives on that singular message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And he had this to say about salvation and all that we have in Christ. And he said this: salvation is not simply God's gift to his people, but God's gift through his people.
Oh, wow.
So we've been given every spiritual blessing, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others that we come in contact with, both individually and corporately as the body of Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. If you have a question, a comment, something that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742.
Oh, we've got another question here sent in by Jose, who listens and connects with us through our cell phone app. Good app to get a hold of if
yes,
that's
indeed
the way you live your life. It's really,
if that's
there.
The way you roll.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about it, but it's a great thing. This is an interesting two-parter. Thank you for the power of eight. I really see my forgiveness in Jesus. Wow, you drove it home. Thank you. Okay? I've got very happy thoughts going here. Now the next thing. Given that, does it matter what type of music you listen to? How many times do we get questions in this form? wow, the grace of God is overwhelming. I don't know how it was that I ever lived without it. Well, now what can I do and what can I not do?
Yeah.
How do we answer that?
Yeah, we get right back to rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. And I always said, you know, there's this thing like in business, what are best practices? And, you know, through trial and error, people have come up with best practices. And so we want to kind of bring that idea over to our Christian life. What are some good rules of thumb that we can take with us in our day-to-day lives? And that would get down to the types of music that we can listen to. You know, can we drink alcohol or not drink alcohol? Those sort of things. And I think we have to come back and realize, wait a minute, I've been saved, I've received forgiveness, but even more than that, I've received the gift of God's Spirit. Jesus Christ, when he ascended, God the Father gave him the Holy Spirit, and he poured that out upon mankind. So he has given us the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit now indwells us. Well, we can trust him with those types of issues. Mm-hmm. So if we will learn to think through the framework of grace, we'll be able to come up with our own decisions on that. Now, if you've been, you know, a rock and roll junkie and those songs and that music takes your mind back to your old way of life, your, you know, drugs and whatever mm-hmm. else you might have done before you came to Christ, then for your sake, for your benefit, it might be a good decision to say, hey, I'm not really going to listen to that because that's not who I am anymore. And, yes. and you make a decision to listen to other music. Somebody else, you know,
Brock, it doesn't matter.
So that's the Holy Spirit working individually and uniquely with each person. So you just have to understand yourself, and I think the Holy Spirit, as you grow in your knowledge of Christ, you get to understand yourself, and so you make decisions appropriately. Now, you don't want to do it from a legalistic standpoint. No. In other words, I'm doing this to get more brownie points with God. It doesn't work that way. If the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, it's probably better for you not to listen to rock and roll, that's for your benefit. Mm-hmm. That's for your everyday just peace and well-being. So think of it in those terms. There are people who make decisions to you know, I'm not going to go see an R-rated movie, or I'm not going to do this. And it's not for legalistic means. It's simply a decision based on wisdom.
Yes.
You know, I know what my past life was. I know my weaknesses in that area. So I don't want to fan those weaknesses and give sin a chance to really pull me away from my walk with Christ. So you make decisions based on wisdom, and God, through his Holy Spirit, works with you uniquely.
Yes.
And those sort of things.
Yeah, it's a magnificent conversation you get to have.
Yes.
We love answering these questions, but you can ask the very same question to the Spirit inside of you, and quite often what happens is I don't even get a chance to ask the question. The Spirit prompts me and says, well, Richard, what do you think about this? Is this being helpful? Is this helping you be more consistent with your new identity as a child of God, et cetera, et cetera? And it, you just get a chance to get to know each other.
Yes.
In a way that we could never have imagined before, but is completely true now because of the indwelling Spirit.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So a passage that we talked about last week as far as how then should we live the Christian life is in Colossians chapter 2. And I think it's a very, very powerful passage that we all need to recognize. It says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've received forgiveness. I know I'm saved. And now, you know, can I do this or can I do that? Well, we're trying to go right back to those elementary or basic principles like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So I think we have to understand that. And that just, I think, drives us deeper into this faith relationship with Christ, yes, knowing that I truly can trust the Spirit of God living within me.
Yes. We've heard from Tom, who writes to us from New York, listens on WMCA. This is one that comes up quite often, and it's always important to deal with it properly. Many people read a verse and then argue over their interpretation of what it means. Isn't the love of the Lord more important? Please give your thoughts.
Yes, the love of Christ is much more important. And as Jesus said, the world will know that we are Christ's disciples by our love one for another, not our doctrine, not our theology, mm-hmm, but our love one for another. But our love one for another flows from proper theology, doesn't it?
Yes.
You can't really have one without the other. What is love? And that gets back to theology. Well, where are we going to go to find out what love is? Well, the study of God. Why? Because he says he is love. Well, how did he demonstrate that love? Well, he demonstrated that love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he demonstrated his love. So it wasn't a nushy-gushy feeling. It wasn't a warm fuzzy that God had toward us. It was an act that he did on our behalf, doing something for us that we could not do for ourselves. That's what moved God to act, was his love for us. So he demonstrated that through the cross. So for us to really understand the love of God so that we can love others as Christ has loved us, we better find out what that cross means.
Yes.
We better find out what Jesus accomplished there on our behalf. So to love properly, we need to know what Jesus has really done. So that gets back to theology to some degree. Now, we have arguments over all the things that we're supposed to be doing. Should we be water baptized or not water baptized? And if we're supposed to be water baptized, are we supposed to be immersed, or is it okay to be sprinkled? And if we're supposed to be immersed, is it just in the name of Jesus, or is it supposed to be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And we have all kinds of heated arguments over stuff that we think we're supposed to do. And that doesn't help anything. And that's where we have to say, no, let's step back and let's get to what Christ has accomplished for us so that we can genuinely love one another, even in the midst of our differences.
Yeah. I had to learn from my bad old days that theology wasn't a question of being right. Theology was a question of getting to know Jesus. And when you start with Jesus, surprising how many of those other things just flat take care of themselves, and it doesn't have to be a fight anymore. Now, if somebody walks up to you and says Jesus isn't God, well, now you've got a fight on your hands, because that's wrong.
Yes.
But the Bible references itself and explains itself if you just are patient and read through it and let the Spirit teach you, and this walk of faith. It's always this walk of faith.
Oh, it always gets back to that.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate you joining with us today on Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. And if you have questions, be sure and call us early in the program so that we can get to those. Basic Gospel is a listener-supported outreach. We rely totally upon gifts and contributions of donors and listeners just like you. Mm-hmm. So if Basic Gospel has meant something to you, if you've learned something about your relationship with Christ, you're starting to grow as a result of what you're hearing, we encourage you to join with us so that others can have that same experience. We need many more Basic Gospel partners, folks who will join with us by giving a gift of $30, $50, or $100 each month to make sure this good news continues to be delivered every day through the Basic Gospel broadcast. All the information on how to support is at basicgospel.net. Go there, click the donation link, and join with us. We'll see you tomorrow.